You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Hallelujah. Man, there's some beautiful looking people here. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4. Brother Braden Wellman, it's almost your time. That's right. A couple months ago, I began to pray, and the Lord impacted my life. The marvelous thing about the Word of God is when you think about Him and you begin to exhort, and you read and you pray and you preach Scripture, time goes by and you think that you've got it all down. But then the Lord begins to speak to you and He exposes another layer. The story that I'm going to speak to you today, you've all heard. But this story begins with a prophecy that statesman prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 7 and 4. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Hosea prophesied about him in Hosea 11 and 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him my son out of Egypt. The prophet Micah spoke of this person, Micah 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Then we find his birth in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was first made when Sirius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Verse 11, for unto us, or unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when he said unto them, how is it that thou sought me? Wist thou not that I be about my Father's business? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch each and every person in this place. Lord, people that come in here numb because of years of being in the church, I pray that you break that numbness. Lord, I pray, Father, for the people that don't know you, God, that today they find you. Lord, I pray that you animate me like a glove. God, that you touch me and let your fire continue to be here this morning. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, and we lift you up. Father, give the people ears to hear and a heart that is open to apply it to your word. And we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, the church said. Amen. We're glad to have you this morning. When I was young, I was sitting down over an open Bible. And this passage of Scripture captivated my life. I know that God is a God of purpose. How many of you know that? There's nothing haphazard about God. There's nothing that happens by accident with God. Do you believe that? This passage of Scripture that God gave me began a journey in my life. And this passage of Scripture, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Victory's journey. The journey begins in Galilee, and from Galilee it goes to Bethlehem, and from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and ultimately to Golgotha. Now we find that Jesus' family, every year for Passover, from the age of 12 and on, Jesus stayed behind in the temple. And his people, his mother actually was the one that was messed up. His family goes on and they don't know where he is. And Mary begins to realize that in this convoy, they weren't by themselves, they were with a bunch of people. In this convoy, Jesus is not there. How many people understand that when your baby's not around mothers, you start to freak out? And so Mary begins to trip offline. I said that to Kate the other day. She didn't like it. His family, while he's in the temple, they begin to turn around and they go in a complete circle. Now, there are a few cities in the Bible that talk about a circle. Gilgal and Galilee mean circle. I don't have a lot of time, but they were in Galilee at the beginning of the story in limbo, waiting for the promise. Now they're going in circles trying to find Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes church people go in circles. What you find about these places is they're places of idolatry and lust and mundane living. When we get caught in a circle, we get caught in those things. Amen? I begin to understand this is where a lot of people find themselves. They just go in circles. They're up one day and down the next. They go to the left and then they circle around to the right. Has anybody ever been there? Some of you are there right now. We as individuals get stuck. Churches get stuck. People get stuck. We just go in circles living this change in our life. We want it to take place. We want it to occur. We want God to bless our lives and make us whole. Do you want that? I want Jesus to touch me. I want him to move on me. Listen, hey, our church folk, don't be worried about the visitors. Look at them and smile, but you got to praise Jesus anyway. Amen. We come to church and we do our own thing and we go in circles and we really don't want to change. We don't really want to be transformed, but I want to talk to you. Listen, this ain't going to be your normal Easter message today. I want to talk to you about the Jesus Christ that'll change your circle. He'll change your direction. He'll change the way that you walk and the way that you talk. He'll change the atmosphere around you. Amen. Lord, help me. I found out a long time ago as a pastor how many people get emotional about the temperature in the sanctuary. I'm about to cook this morning. I remember years ago this lady had her eye on a parking spot. Someone whipped in front of her and took it. Oh, it messed up her whole world. Systems, sound systems disturb people. We go in circles. We get stuck. We really shouldn't be stunned by that stuff, you know? No, pastor, what do you mean? Because 1 Timothy tells us this. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." How many of you know that's true in the day that we live? Many people have issues and problems, and they're looking for divine revelation. They're looking for the truth. They're looking for the Jesus of the Bible, but we're not giving it to them. We're giving them some kind of fake thing that we're trying to pass off as Jesus, and it might be close, but it's not him. Paul said it like this. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when, listen, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. How many of you have been in the church and you know that we define ourselves by sin? We define ourselves by our brokenness. And we don't want anybody to tell us, hey, you better be different. That you're not living by the word of God. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But I'm telling you, I don't care where you're at today. When you walk through those doors, you may have been broken. Your life may have been a wreck. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus has healed me. Jesus has touched me. He's made me whole. When nobody could do it. When the doctor couldn't help me. He did it. If you want to look at a verse that defines our day today, 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in last days perilous times shall come. I know most generations can say that they've been through perilous times, but how many, church, have you ever seen a day like this? I've never seen. I said, have you ever seen a day like this? Everybody in this room can say that. I've never seen perilous times like today. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You don't have to look out and find lovers of pleasure. We got those in the church house. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We know that we got a lot of people that have a gospel scheme, a gospel theme, but they deny the power thereof. If you deny the power, then you deny the victory. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Now, did you hear it? Are you really online with me today? If there is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord, that means there's a famine of people telling the word of the Lord. Lord, help me. We shouldn't be shocked. We find in their time and in ours, we find ourselves going in circles. Circles. I'm up one day. I'm down the next. And next, who can identify with that? I believe it. Whether you look straight forward and act like I'm not talking to you or not, I'm talking to you. Listen, you will never be assembled the same way again. You may think you got here by accident. You may think that you filled out a form and submitted it and said, hey, I'm going to be in the church today because it's Easter. But I'm telling you, it's divine intervention that you were here. Sometimes we walk in unholy behavior. And it becomes puts a caveat between us and God. But I'm telling you right now that if you will just give your life over to Him, He will transform everything about you. I promise you. Listen, He will change your children. He will change your husband. He will change your wife. Listen, He will heal. He will deliver. He will transform. Does anybody in the house believe it? We're just like the family of Jesus. We go in circles, stuck, battling idolatry, lust, and mundane living. We're living off yesterday's blessing. We're living off the blessing from last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Can anybody identify what I'm saying? Boy, church was good 10 years ago. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, He's the same yesterday and today forever. So He's as good today as He was yesterday. But here's the thing. I've been with Him a little longer now, so He's better to me today than He was yesterday. God, help me. And I told the Lord, Lord, please don't have me up here with all these visitors acting like a nut. But I'm telling you, He healed me. He transformed me. He made me whole. Listen, what did He do for you? We better start declaring it. Because listen, the world is declaring what they are. We better declare who He is. I thank Jesus for the victory. He has victory for you and for me. And you can get it today. But we tend to go backward. Jesus doesn't move backward. Jesus moves. He's flowing forward. It's a forward direction. The Holy Spirit came to give us victory. Victory story is always front facing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Victory story is always facing the giant. Victory story is always running ahead of you, protecting you and guiding you. Even when you don't know He's there, He's still protecting you and guiding you and moving on you and giving you direction that without Him, you would be broken and messed up and mundane. Can Jesus Christ get an amen today? Amen. That was pretty weak for the amount of people in this place. Amen. You know I'm old school. I know my wife dressed me. I don't look old school. But I'm old school. Sometimes when I'm talking to you, I feel like an antique because people don't preach this way anymore. But I still believe in the power and the fire of yesterday. I still believe that heaven is going to open its windows and it's going to flow over people that will accept the power of Jesus Christ. I still believe that He wants to move. I still believe that He wants to touch. I still believe cancer can be healed. I still believe that we can pray people out of the deathbed. I still believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you? Or do you just pretend to? You know, when we come together in one mind and one accord, We come together in a place of unlimited potential. If we can just all get online, there are times we get stuck in the mundane. And we get stuck in places. We lose what we've got and we try to get it back. Have you ever been there? But listen, God don't want you to get back what you lost. He wants you to have way more than what you had. Amen. That's the kind of God that I serve. That's the kind of God that you serve. Victory is on a journey today. Oh, my goodness. Listen, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." I'm telling you right now, I'm having a vision, and we need the air conditioner on. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." You know, I pray that my boys prophesy. I pray over them all the time. Lord, let them be men of God. Let them prophesy. I don't care where you take them. I don't care what kind of sport they play. I don't care. But Lord, I want them to prophesy. I want them to know you. I want them to be your men. You know what I'm saying right now? Because listen, they can do all kinds of things. But if they are sturdy and steadfast and walking in the ways of God, God will enlighten their path. We should prophesy that over our children. Hosea 6 and 3, the end of the verse says, "He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain." I'm talking to you about victory's journey today. In Ezekiel 36 and 27, it says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." I feel the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 1:23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." Isaiah 44 and 3 says, "For I will pour water upon them that are thirsty." Are you thirsty today? "And I will pour floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring." Listen, Isaiah 28 and 9. Are you listening to what it's saying? It gives me victory to hear it today. "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall we make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people." You know, years go by, the whole Bible story is unfolding, but victory is on a journey. Victory healed the sick. Victory raised the dead. He set the people free. Some of you are bound today. You're in bondage and you don't know what to do. I'm telling you, victory, Jesus will set you free. Hey, can I tell you something else? He's risen. Some people sitting here don't believe that today. In John 4:29, the Bible says, "Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Matthew 4:18, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." I'm talking about going on a journey. Listen, Jesus went on a journey. When you step into the understanding of salvation, he's taking you on a journey. It bypasses your old journey. It brings you into salvation. It brings you into newness of life. It brings you into new direction. You're not going to go the same old way you used to go. Why? Because victory is on a journey. Can't compete with the world. The church can't compete with the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? When it comes to all the bells and whistles, we don't have enough money. We can't compete with the mall. I can't compete with Facebook. I can't compete. But I'm going to tell you right now, I looked everywhere to find this. I wrote this down a long time ago, and I believe that God gave it to me. When a family comes in sick with a sick child, and the doctor can't help them, and they've been to every specialist they can find, and they walk up with that baby that's broken, and they don't know what to do, and you begin to pray, and God heals it, I'm going to tell you this. The world cannot compete with the church. Why? Because Jesus is a healer. He's a transformer. He's blessing and understanding. The world cannot compete with him. Amen. Victory's on a journey. I'm in big trouble because I'm still in Jerusalem and I got to get to Golgotha. We know that Jesus came into Jerusalem, and on a Sunday, they cheered him and they threw clothes down before him, palm branches down in front of him. They waved and shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest," and cheered him on. Just a few days later, they would crucify him. You read the story of how Pilate found no fault in him. And he sent him back to Herod, the Bible tells us. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And the Bible says that Pilate was willing to give the people what they wanted. Jesus to be crucified. But victory's on a journey. In order to continue the journey, we have to walk past the whipping post. It was a low stone column. He was bruised and beaten. Isaiah 52 and 14 tells us, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." The word visage is the expression on the face. Everyone has got a story. You've got a story. And can I tell you, your story is powerful. Your problems, when Jesus picks you up and sets you down, you got a story. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to tell how that I was a little boy who couldn't read and had trouble and issues. Ralph, I couldn't have told him that 5 years ago. I was embarrassed. But Jesus took me, and I remember standing in front of the church house, Ryan, and I had a little red Bible, and I said, "God, if you'll teach me how to read this thing, I'll serve you the rest of my life." And moving forward, I've had problems, and I've had issues, and I couldn't do things, and I thought I was going to die at some points, but Jesus healed me. That's the story that you tell. I'm not a Bible thumper, but I'm a Jesus praiser. Your story becomes victory when Christ is in the midst. See, Jesus could not stay in Jerusalem. The Bible says that the Father was sending him to Golgotha. After the whipping post, he carried his cross down the Via Dolorosa to the place of the skull. Bible scholars believe that when David killed Goliath, he took his head there for every enemy that would come against the people of Israel to show that the people of Israel were blessed by God and they had victory. Theologists believe Golgotha was a merging of Goliath and Gath, the place Goliath was from. The word Golgotha in the Latin is the word Calvaria. It is where we get the word Calvary today. Victory is on a journey. Up the hill to the place called Calvary, he would go. He stumbles and runs into a man named Simon. Jesus, on the way to the cross, affects this man so much that it changed his life. It changed everything about him. This blood-stained lamb was taking everyone that he touched on a journey up the hill to the place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary. His journey takes another twist as he hangs on the cross. For every mother's child, that's for you and for me. The Bible says he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he gives up the ghost. The Bible said they take him down off the cross. Victory was defeated. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Because victory cannot be defeated. God began to speak to me in the natural. Golgotha was a place of death and a place of the skull. But in the spiritual, Golgotha was the place of victory. Jesus walked up the mountain, not that it matters, but God does nothing by accident. He does everything according to his plan and his will. Do you really believe that today? You may be sitting there numb. You may have been to 1,000 churches. You may have said, "God, I know that there's something better than this." But I'm telling you right now, he doesn't leave you in the place of the skull. He doesn't leave you in the place of crucifixion. He picks you up because you're facing away from the cross. He's going to move you in the direction that you need to get your healing. We see the place of spiritual victory on Golgotha. In the Bible, it says if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can have it. Elijah and Elisha were walking after some victory. Elijah asked Elisha, "What do you want from me?" He said, "I want a double portion. I don't just want what you got, I want more." Man, if the church world was like that today. I don't just want what the leadership has. I don't just want what the pastor has. I want more. Give me a double portion. He said, "You ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken, you can have it. If you see it. If you see it." Oh, sometimes you got to see the building before you can get it. Sometimes you got to see the property before you can get it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I several years ago now, we've got property. You ought to go look at it. God's doing great things. But I took Wyatt to the property, and then it was hay and stubble and all of this stuff, and it was real high. And I pulled in, and it was just enough space to get my truck in. And I thought we were going to get stuck, and it was just me and him, you know, boys' day. And I said, "Wyatt," I said, "this is going to be the church property. This is what God gave us." I said, "Do you see it?" I said, "Over here, right here, up there where the trees are." I said, there's going to be a huge building. That's where people are going to get saved." And he said, "I don't see it because it was the leaves, the hay and all the stuff was way taller than him." And I set him up on the truck, and he said, "Oh yeah." He's a dreamer like I'm a dreamer. I said, "What do you see?" He said, "I can tell you right now, Dad." He said, "Over there is the playground. That's where Jesus will watch those kids play." And I said, "Yes." Victory's on a journey. If you see it, then you can have it. I can see souls being saved right here and over there. I can see it. I can see the community of MacArthur being changed. I can see it. I can see Vinton County turning around. Oh, they say that we're the highest in poverty, and we got all these issues with drugs and addiction and pornography and prostitution. Listen, I can see the victory coming down the road. Can you see it? If you can see it, you can have it. What if this little community, this smallest town in Ohio, could get the victory of Jesus? You got to see it.
That's right. Amen.
Am I getting anywhere with you?
Amen.
I got to see it. People look at you like you've lost your mind. I used to try to keep it tamed down because I know if you tell some people, they're not going to believe what God's going to do. I'm going to tell you what kind of miracle we had yesterday. We're at an Easter egg hunt. We're at an Easter egg hunt. Easter egg hunt number two for us. And these people call and send me a video and say, "There is hell everywhere. What are you guys doing with all those people out there?" And I look up. You know why? Because we had prayed. Listen, I look up. It's sunny and 70. Now, you don't think that God works for his people? Listen, on that side of the road, they were having hail the size of golf balls. And down there at Lake Alma, they were having hail the size of golf balls. My people thought I was lying because I said, "There's hail all around us." But God split the storm, and our kids ran and picked up eggs, sunny and 70. He cares about what you care about. And we prayed over it, and we prayed. And I was standing down there, it began to rain, and I walked to the end of the thing. I had to get away from everybody just for a minute. And my wife felt sorry for me. She said, "You want an umbrella?" And I took the umbrella and I held it up and I said, "God, you are the God that's healed me. You are the God that has created miracles. You are the God that stopped this world for one whole day. You cannot stop this rain for 15 minutes. And somebody, Matt Lamb, came down and said, he must have felt sorry for me too. He said, "Pastor, just let me have that stuff." He said, "Put that little vest you got on me and let me wave them people in with that little wand." I said, "Okay." And I started walking up there. And by the time I got to the middle of the parking lot, it quit raining. You know why? Because God cares about what you care about. I know that people don't like people that slap. I try not to do that. I got to hurry. I'm almost done. They put Jesus in the tomb, and they thought it was over. But victory was on a journey. See, they thought victory was defeated, but victory got up. He walked past the low stone column. He walked past the rugged cross. He walked past an empty tomb to give you victory. Don't stay stuck in the past. Don't stay stuck in your problem. Don't allow your sin to overtake you, because he walked past all that stuff to give you victory over your sin, over your trouble, over your issue. God, I've dealt with this for years. You don't have to. Today is the day to leave it here. Today is, you know what a church is? A church is a place to leave your burdens. A church is a place to leave your trouble. A place is, the church is, should be so powerful. It's a place to leave your problems and your cancers and your health issues. Oh, I'm telling you, today it's a place where diabetes can be healed. Are you following what I'm saying? I know you don't believe that today, but I'm telling you, God can move. We've had people right in this place healed of diabetes. Well, that's not possible. You don't believe in victory then? Cancer has been healed here. I'm talking lots of cancer. Listen, I don't know if this is the cancer-changing place, but come, bring all your burdens to Jesus, because I want you to be healed. Victory's on a journey. There are tombs for you. There are tombs for the church. Jesus walked past the tomb. God's got more for Renovate Life Church of God than this little hole. Walk past your problem. Walk past your tomb. Walk past the issue that ails you and keeps you down. You hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to get to you. I may never be able to talk to you again, but God has given me this one opportunity, and I want you to understand he is the greatest thing that you will ever know. Listen, he loves you more than anybody will ever love you. Some of you are sitting there today, and I've heard things like this. I don't have anybody. No one can help me. You're right. Nobody can help you. The person that you're the closest to can't do it for you, but I can promise you this. I am a testament, Ryan. I am a testament to what God can do. I am a testament that he will heal you and change you and transform you and make you whole. I am a testament of what the power of God can do. He will heal and transform. I can't say it enough. I love him for what he's done for me. I'm grateful for what he... Are you grateful today? That's all you got. You just got to be grateful for what he's done. I'm grateful for my heal. I'm grateful for my blessing. I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. Oh, Lord, some of them aren't coming back because they think I'm a nut. I'm grateful. And I promise you, I can't do anything for you, but he can. He can. What I want you to understand today, this is not just a special holiday where church people get together and they wear their finest clothes that their wife bought them. And they hunt for Easter eggs. And they go to dinner with their family. This is the ageless, timeless story that was prophesied long ago. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. More importantly, he wants to save you. And when he saves you, victory continues its journey. Everybody stand with me. You may feel down. You may feel like you have no hope. You may feel like you're broken. But I want you to understand one thing today. Jesus is in this room. Listen, you have the heart of God right now. It's not every day that we get to express everything that we want to express to God, but you can do it right now. And so as they play, I want you to pray. I want you to decide, do I want to go to the altar? Do I want to be saved? If you're not saved, whatever you want in your life can happen now. In the name of Jesus. Church people, if you're here and you've been going to this church, pray right now. Begin to pray. God, Lord, I pray that you touch these people. Help us not to be just Easter goers.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless, and have an amazing week.